And we're so excited about the word of the Lord here this morning, and trust as we minister the word that it'll quicken your heart. I was directed by the Lord to this Old Testament story of this man named Gideon, who was a warrior, but he was a fearful warrior. Had a genuine call of God on his life, but you wouldn't think that he'd be the type of guy that God would call, because he's hiding from the enemy and very fearful and always having to have God give him signs to step forward in faith to do the will of God. But God called him and God qualified him and God did great things through him. And I want to believe God to do that for us as well. I think as we see our calling, many times we don't feel qualified at all. We wonder if God could ever use us. And the answer to that, according to the story of Gideon, is of course God can use us. God wants to use us. God will empower us. God will flow through us. And many times we have to deal with our own internal issues like Gideon, but God will give us grace to overcome those things, and let's just see what the Lord will do today, all right? So I'm going to be reading the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 1 to 16, and I trust as I read this passage of Scripture that the word of the Lord will come alive in your heart. The Bible says that we need to receive the word and mix it with our faith so that it might speak to us. And of course, not only mixing it with our faith, but also becoming a doer of the word as well. So receive with meekness the engrafted word of God today that can save your soul. Judges chapter 6, we're going to read 16 verses, kind of a lengthy passage, but as we read the word, just let us speak to your heart. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Interesting, isn't it? God speaking into his life, calling forth something out of him that apparently wasn't there, as he's in fear, threshing wheat in a wine press. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all his miracles which your fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." And may God bless his precious word to our hearts. Why does a nation fall? Well, the Bible tells us in Judges 6, verse 1, that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. It starts right there. They were, according to verse 10, not obeying the voice of God. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it kind of sums up the way it was in the book of Judges. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. The book of Judges closes with this verse. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Kind of reminds you of the United States of America, if you ask me. Everyone doing what's right in their own eyes, behaving corruptly, doing evil, not obeying God, turning away from the Lord. America is living, I believe, like the book of Judges. Everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. I got some statistics for you here this morning. Did you know that 65% of Americans believe every culture must determine what is acceptable morality for its people? 64% of Americans believe moral standards depend on the situation, what we call situational ethics. 74% of millennials, that's age 28 to 43, believe whatever is right for your life is the only truth you can know. Only 59% of practicing Christians believe moral truth is absolute. But Jesus had something to say about truth. In John chapter 17, he says, "Your word is truth." We believe that the scriptures is truth, that it's absolute truth. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. That's what's happening in the book of Judges. People not accepting divine guidance or the word of the Lord or the absolute truth of Scripture, doing whatever they feel is right in their own eyes, and they're casting off restraint, they're running wild, they're giving themselves over to sin, they justify their own selves, they're living their most authentic life. I think that's what we call it now, living your most authentic life. But when a nation allows its citizens to do what's right in their own eyes, it devolves into anarchy, which is what happened in the book of Judges, which we are seeing that happening in the United States of America. When a nation rejects God and His truth, in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which He had done for Israel. It's interesting how when you do what's right in your own eyes and you forget what God had done in the past, you can, within one generation, lose an entire generation. And that's what happened in the book of Judges. What happens when foundations are destroyed? The Bible tells us that law and order collapses. We know that lawlessness shall abound and the love of many shall grow cold in the last days. Jesus warns about that. We find in the United States of America that the marriages and families are collapsing as more and more people are living together. More and more children are raised in fatherless homes. Biblical sexuality collapses as everyone does what's right in their own eyes. It's the marriage bed that is undefiled. Any sin, any sexual relations outside of the marriage bed, the Bible calls sin, but in the book of Judges and also in the United States of America, we do what's right in our own eyes and justify such behavior. And we even find this foundation being destroyed in our great country. Biological sexual identity collapses. You know, and the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, male and female, He created them. But in the United States of America, a man now can, because he feels like it, become a woman and vice versa. And we're losing these precious foundations that were established in Scripture because Your word is truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. I was reading a book by Dave Meyer, Joyce Meyer's husband, and talking about America. And he talks about the downward spiral of a nation, which is what's happened in the book of Judges, a downward spiral. He says, a nation goes from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, from dependency back to bondage. How many believe that God is America's only hope? You believe that? Yes, I believe that. God is America's only hope. How many would say that God is America's greatest threat? Well, you should all raise your hand because that's true as well. God is America's greatest threat because if a culture or if a nation or if a people do not repent, I want you to know that God can judge that nation and bring that nation low. And so God is both America's greatest hope and God is America's greatest threat. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and repent and seek my face, and the Bible says, I will heal their land. But if we do not do those things, then great can be the fall of a nation. The purpose of this message is to fill us with courage during these evil days. Because we are living in evil days. Darkness has come upon the land. But as Isaiah says, there's great darkness in the land, but your light has come. So we find the move of God, your light has come, and we also find the ever-encroaching force of evil and darkness. And so darkness is covering the land, but our light has come. Lift up our heads, because our redemption draweth nigh. Praise the Lord. So I want to fill you with courage during these evil days and to move you to action during these evil days. Let's take a look at the story of Gideon that I read, and we'll try to glean some things from this fearful warrior. Yes, he was a warrior. He did great things. God raised him up. God called him. God did a great work on the inside of him. And through him, God delivered the nation of Israel from the bondage of the evil ones, right? The Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east that would come. And man, they'd come and they would just simply take all the fruit and just bring them into bondage. God called this man Gideon. And Gideon was a fearful warrior. He was afraid of the enemy. The Bible says in verse 11 that Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now, the threshing of the wheat was usually done on a high place, a hill, as it were, because the wind would catch the chaff and carry it away and leave the fruit behind. But here he is really doing something that seemingly is impossible, threshing wheat down in a lower area in a wine press in order to hide. We know that according to the scriptures that Gideon was very insecure, felt unqualified and inadequate for the task at hand. We find that in Judges chapter 6, verse 15. So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel?" That's that sense of inadequacy, right? How can I? Me? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. Boy, that's great insecurity, right? He looked at himself and his family as the weakest. And I am the least in my father's house. He felt unqualified. Insecure, inadequate, unqualified. That's this man Gideon that the angel of the Lord, which I believe was a theophany, it was a divine appearance of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus had a pre-incarnate appearance right here in the book of Judges and appeared to this man Gideon and called him and declared him to be a mighty man of valor, but yet so insecure, so unqualified, and feeling so inadequate. And that's us many times as God wants to use us. Am I right about that? How can I? How can I? Well, get in, you can't. But with the Lord with you, you can. You can't, but you can. And he says, man, my clan is the weakest. He starts looking at his family, and he's not finding any strength there in his family. And so he's feeling so terribly insecure about his upbringing, his parents. And then he says, man, I am the least in my father's house. Man, he compared himself to his brothers, to his sisters, to his parents, to the clan, to the family. He said, man, I'm just the lowest one on the totem pole. I am the least. I'm so unqualified and so inadequate. And maybe this heart response reflects your heart response many times to situations, circumstances, how you view yourself, the idea that God wants to use you, the idea that God wants to flow through you to touch lives, and you look at yourself and say, man, I don't have what it takes. I don't have the giftings. I don't have the calling. I don't have the anointing. I don't have the intelligence. I don't have the talents. I'm not from a great family. I don't have the education. I lack the wisdom. I lack the wherewithal. When you look at yourself, you see weakness. But God is speaking strength into this man, and the Bible speaks strength into us as well. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, the Bible says. Gideon loved his nation, but was too fearful to act. Boy, that can reflect us, right? I love America, don't you? I love this nation, the people, but man, am I afraid of where this nation is headed. How to act. The scripture says in Judges chapter 6, verse 2, the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So they began to hide. They began to go undercover. They kept their mouths shut. They're moved with fear. Their world got smaller, right? They're not out in the open. They're living in dens and caves and holes there in the mountains in order to hide themselves. Rather than being free and being full of strength and being full of boldness, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. And I tell you what, it can be that way in our culture now. If I say something, it's all going to come against me. If I speak about Jesus, I'm going to be silenced. If I say my viewpoint on this or my opinion on that, here it comes. Cancel culture is very real. Well, I believe there are certain ways that we can act. Gideon acted and God used him. There's ways that we can act. We can pray for America. Prayer is not our last resort, but our first resort. We can share our faith and invite people and do so with great boldness and with great courage. Let's resist the tendency to dwell in spiritual caves and emotional hiding places because we're just so afraid of the opposition or the rejection that might be out there. We can vote our biblical values when it comes to election. We can live for the Lord and teach our children our faith. We can stand up and speak and tell people about Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. That's what was happening with Gideon and the children of Israel. They're just being trampled underfoot. They were impoverished. They were intimidated. They were reduced to dwelling in caves. They lost their harvest. They lost their faith. They lost their boldness. They're now in bondage. And the Bible says we're salt and light, but if our salt loses its saltiness, then the Bible says we're good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot by men. And I tell you what, culture can be very strong and oppositions can be very strong, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we don't have to hide and be fearful and withdraw and live in caves, but we can be strong and bold and confident in our faith. Hello? I've just been going at it, haven't I? You guys are sitting there. But you can say, preach it, Pastor. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Gideon was a fearful warrior. You know what? God calls the unqualified. And Gideon was called of the Lord. In Judges chapter 6, verse 14, it says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So go in this might of yours. Later he says, I will be with you. I've sent you. I will be with you. And I want you to know that ultimately is our might or our strength. going this might, well, if I look at myself, I have no strength or not much might at all. I don't find the inner resources to make a real difference. But if I'm called and I have God's presence or anointing, I want to know that's something I can go through and something I can go with and something that will cause me to be an overcomer and a conqueror. So the Lord called this man. He says, I'm calling you to save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Who, me? Me? Don't you understand that I'm the least? I'm insecure. I'm unqualified. I feel inadequate. And I want you to know that not only was Gideon unqualified, because he was a fearful man, but we all are unqualified, if we think about it, for the task at hand. The greatest passage of Scripture that I can think about that talks about us being unqualified, but yet the Lord calls us, is 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 29. For you see your calling. Your calling there is your call to salvation and maybe call to God's eternal purpose or plan for your life. For you see your calling, your salvation, and His eternal plan for your life. How that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And certainly that's Gideon, right? He was not mighty and noble and wise. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. The reason why God calls people that are unqualified is that no flesh should glory in His presence. God wants to receive all the glory. So if God is using you and working through you and bringing miracles into the world through your witness, people will say that it must be God. It can't be him or can't be her. It needs to be. It must be God. And so Jesus receives all the glory. So I looked up these Greek words. God has chosen the foolish. That word foolish means dull, stupid, absurd, no education. Anybody qualify? He chooses the weak. That means feeble, lacking power, unable to achieve anything great. The Bible says He chooses the base things of the world. Base, ignoble, low-born, of no reputation. Base, low-born. Man, I didn't come from a great family of accomplishment. He chooses those that are despised. That means contemptible or mocked. He chooses those that the world will say are nothing. That means counted as nothing at all. Well, I look at my calling to salvation, and I can truly say that I was the foolish and the weak and the base. I was the type of person that people would say, I can't believe that he got saved. Boy, if you would have ever heard my first message, I practiced for 30 minutes, and then I was done in 10 minutes. And everything I knew about God, I put in that 30-minute message. I'd been saved about a year, and everything I knew about God and everything I knew about the Word of God, I put in that message. It was a chapel message in Bible college, and I practiced. I'd go behind the house and preach to the wood pile, and I'd time myself, and I got 30 minutes out of it. But the day of chapel, I'm standing behind that little makeshift pulpit, and the student body is there, and I got done in 10 minutes. Because, you know, when you're nervous or fearful, your mind freezes up and you lack the ability to flow and to you know, and a lot of it's extemporaneous and God's not downloading anything because I'm so afraid of their faces. I'm so uncomfortable with how I'm coming across. And I got done in 10 minutes and I thought to myself afterwards, man, it took 1 year of everything I know about God, everything I know about the Word of God, and all I got was 10 minutes. And how am I ever going to be a pastor? How am I ever going to be a preacher if it takes me a whole year to just get 10 minutes worth? Insecure, inadequate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says this, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicate." Now, let's look at this list. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, that's good. They're sinners, right? They're not going to enter into heaven as sinners. And then he says, "And such were some of you." What? You mean the ones that were in the Corinthian church? They were the unrighteous ones? They were the fornicators and the adulterers and the homosexuals. They were the thieves and the covetous and the drunkards and the extortioners. They were those kind of people? Yes. God saved them. Those are the type of people that God called. And such were some of you. And may we say that today as we look at the congregation, me included, that there I am in that list, and such were some of you. But listen what God does. But you were washed in the blood, forgiven. You were sanctified, that means made holy. And you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Justified. That means God declared you righteous simply by faith in Jesus Christ. Declared you righteous, made holy, covered your sins. God did it. God did it. He did it according to the Spirit of our God. Thank God for the Spirit of God, for the anointing of God, for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's God that makes the difference in our life. Somebody say amen to that. So just like Gideon, we are unqualified. You might ask this question, why does God call the unqualified? Well, let me give you four reasons. Number one, to bring glory to himself. Number two, to keep the message simple. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said this, man, I just determined to know just Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected. I didn't come to you with all this wisdom and all this worldly knowledge, but I just came with a simple gospel. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Be saved. To keep the message simple. So God calls the unqualified. He calls those that have to trust in the Lord. And so those that are truly called of the Lord, they come and they're not bringing themselves. They're not bringing all their wisdom and all their talents to bear, but rather they've been humbled because God would dare call them, and they keep the message simple. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's always Jesus. It's simply Jesus. Look to Jesus. Jesus saves. Look to Jesus. So God calls the unqualified to bring glory to himself, to keep the message simple, to prompt reliance on God and not people. You know, when God called Gideon, you know, they're not trusting in Gideon. They're not trusting in Gideon. They're not trusting in that man. He's the fearful one, right? They're trusting in the God that has spoken, called, equipped, and empowered this man. You see, it causes people to prompt reliance on God and not people. And finally, why is God called and qualified? To fill us with his power. Because when you know you're unqualified, you become dependent on the Lord and you say, "Oh God, I need you." And he says, "In your weakness, I will be strong." And he fills you with his strength. Praise the Lord. God calls the unqualified. Gideon was called, but he was unqualified. But then God qualifies the called, and that's exactly what he did with Gideon. Gideon was turned into that mighty man of valor by the Lord. He qualifies the called. Got this quote out of Hebrews chapter 11. "How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon." Notice it didn't say, I want to tell you about Gideon's personal strengths and talents that he had. And how God was lucky that he made himself available because he was so strong and mighty in himself. He says, "I want to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God has promised them. They shut the mouth of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Well, I see Gideon. You know, I've read through the life of Gideon and his struggles and his conquest, and that's exactly what God did. Gideon believed God, and God did a miracle through him. He turned his weakness to strength. He made him strong in battle. He put whole armies to flight. He received promises, right? All that happened because he had faith in Jesus. So God qualified Gideon. He called the unqualified. He qualified the called. That's how it goes. That's how it went with him. That's how it goes with us. That's how it goes with us. How does God qualify us? Number one, by giving us his Spirit. In Judges chapter 6, verse 12, the Lord tells Gideon, the Lord is with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. And may I say this, if you know the Lord, he has put his Spirit on the inside of you. And we are not alone. We are not alone. The Lord is with us. The Lord is on the inside of us. The Lord is with us. He goes before us. He's behind us. He's our rear guard. He's our strength. And he's our power. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And that's how God qualifies us, by giving us his Spirit. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we are forgiven. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we are saved. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we are called. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we are empowered. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we have victories. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we are transformed. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we accomplish anything in the eyes of God and before the people of this world. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, but certainly we are not without him. We have him, and therefore all things are possible. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. All things are possible. So God qualifies us by giving us his Spirit. And by, number two, giving us a new identity. Judges chapter 6, verse 12, the Lord just spoke this. You mighty man of valor. You know, every warrior, every soldier of Christ fights the inner fear of failure. What if I step out and it doesn't work? What if I sink? What if I'm defeated? What if my dreams or my goals are not realized? What if I believe the Lord spoke and it doesn't happen? We have that inner fear of failure. And also, every warrior or soldier of Christ fights the inner fear of inadequacy. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I don't have what it takes. When I look at myself, I see lack. I see fear. I see weakness. I see failures. When I look at myself, I'm inadequate. I'm not enough. And I have good news and bad news. Which do you want first? I'll give you the bad news. You're not enough. I'll give you the good news. You're not enough. It depends on how you look at it. If your perspective is, oh, that's bad news, I'm not enough, I guess I won't do it. Okay, but if you look at it as good news with a different perspective, you're not enough, I'm not enough, but that means he's enough. I can glory in my weakness because I know when I'm weak, he is strong. So if I'm not enough, then he needs to be enough, and he is enough. Therefore, I am enough in him. That's the good news. In Jesus Christ, we have everything we need to win. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we can go forth in victory. We can do what God's called us to do. We can make a stand in these evil days. We can shine our light. We can testify of our faith. We can vote our biblical values. We can pray for our nation. We can teach our children. We can go forth and be salt and light and not be good for nothing but and trampled underfoot, but rather be worth something in God because we are bold in our faith. Somebody say, that's good preaching. It is good preaching. I'm enjoying it. Sure beats my first message. 10 minutes, and I was done. I was embarrassed. You remember your first message? I was humbled. You might say humiliated. I stepped away from that pulpit with my proverbial tail between my legs. How? Why would you call me? How am I ever going to do this? I just don't see it ever happening. But with the call of God comes the equipping of God, comes the gifting of the Lord, comes the strength of God, comes the discipline of the Lord, comes all of heaven's resources, comes your way. You might be saying, but I don't feel qualified yet. Well, maybe God is still working on you. But I do know this, if you are a child of God, God wants to begin to use you right where you're at. Just start trusting Him and step out in faith and maybe do something simple and see if God will bring about a victory. The Bible says that God can command victories. Doesn't it say that? He can command victories. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with this question. What spiritual resource are you underutilizing as you wage your spiritual battle? You know, all things that pertain to life and godliness He hath granted us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God gives us spiritual resources. And many times we underutilize the weapons of our warfare, which are mighty in God, right? The renewing of our mind, the power of prayer, the word of the Lord, our worship, fasting, Bible commitment, fellowship, obedience to God, our simplicity of faith. These are resources that God uses to work in us and through us, to strengthen us and empower us, to teach us and to train us. And many times we underutilize these spiritual resources, these spiritual disciplines, because we get busy or we think little of them, or somehow, I got this, I can handle this. No, God's calling always takes us beyond what we can handle in ourselves. I hope and trust that you want to do something for the Lord, that you believe that God wants to use you, that you can make a difference right where you're at, that you don't have to be dwelling in a cave, living in a hole, filled with fear, overcome by culture, overcome by just the darkness that's out there. But let's shine our light, let's step forward, let's share our faith, let's be bold, let's pray, let's believe God, let's witness, let's invite, and let's just see what God can do. Somebody say amen to that. Bow your heads in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, do you feel like a Gideon? A fearful warrior? Fears. The fear of failure, the fear of inadequacy, the fears that come with insecurities, fears. Boy, I tell you what, they can grip our hearts. Are you like Gideon, just looking at yourself and your upbringing, your family, and just saying, how can I? Oh, Lord, choose somebody else, use somebody else. Maybe you compare yourself with others. They're more gifted, they're more anointed, they're smarter, they're more educated, they have more opportunities, they have more resources, they have more money, they have more friends, whatever. You just compare yourself to others, and the Bible says that's not wise. Gideon compared himself to his family and said, I'm the least of my family. He's just comparing himself to others, and he believed that others were better than him. But God said, you're a mighty man of valor, and I just want to pour into you the word of the Lord. You, in the eyes of God, are strong and mighty in Christ. And you are fully equipped to do all that God's called you to do. He has put his spirit on the inside of you, and so what's on the inside of you is greater than the devil that's in this world. And he's given you all the strength and all the anointing for you to be victorious in this life, in the season that you find yourself in the job where you work, in the home where you live, in the church where you minister. He's equipped you and caused you to be an overcomer, and he wants you to bear much fruit. I want you to believe God for that. What is God asking you to do? How can you make a difference in this very dark world? Well, respond to the Spirit of God. Even if it's something small, do that, trusting the Lord. God will use your faith, your trust. With your heads bowed, if you're here today and you would say, Pastor Tim, I don't know Jesus. I need to be saved. Will you pray for me to be saved? I'm here to do that for you. If you would like to give your heart to Christ, what better time than right now to choose Christ, to choose life, to choose a new direction, to choose the salvation that he can bring into your heart. You've been living in darkness way too long. Today is your day to come into the kingdom, to come to Christ, to believe on the Lord. If that's in your heart, to choose the Lord today, just raise your hand. Lift your hand up high so I can see it, and I will pray for you. Lift your hand up high, and I will pray for you. Anybody out there saying, man, today's my day. Today's my day. Today's my day. Today's my day.